Hello, ladies. Mrs. Trink here. I wanted to share with you an idea, share with you a few thoughts approaching this time, this tkufa of Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, this midos marathon, if you will, this marathon of trying to perfect ourselves, of trying to somehow return to who we are, who we're meant to be, what our core truly is. And before I share that thought, I wanted to start by sharing this incredible story with you, a story that I believe is brought down, told over by Rav Yaakov Galinsky, a story about a man in Russia that had a brilliant plan. He was going to break into a bank and steal the money that was kept in the safe. But the way he went about it, that was the brilliant part. He realized that in Russia, specifically around that time, there was a tremendous amount of respect for authority figures, tremendous amount of respect for law enforcement, for police officers. So he realized very quickly that in order to get into that safe, he didn't have to use any force, he didn't have to use any type of aggression. All he would have to do was simply steal a police uniform and walk right into the bank confidently, give a salute at the entrance, and just walk nonchalantly into the safe. And he did just that, and his plan worked perfectly. He stole a police uniform and he walked straight into the safe, where he was about to fill his bags with money. Now, one thing that he didn't realize was that the bank had in it undercover security guards, undercover police officers dressed in civilian clothing, whose entire job was to walk around nonchalantly, waiting to pick up on any suspicious activity. And as he stepped into the safe, all of a sudden he felt the weird sensation of a gun on his back. And he heard the voice of this undercover policeman dressed in civilian clothing saying, "Come with me, you're under arrest." The policeman grabbed his arm and handcuffed his hand onto his own and started ushering him out of the bank and into the police car. Now just picture to yourself this image. We have a man, a criminal, in police uniform, handcuffed to a police officer in civilian clothing. So as they were walking out of this bank, this criminal had another brilliant idea. He decided that he was going to flag down a passerby or another police officer that was walking by and tell them, "Here, I just arrested this man in civilian clothing, as he was trying to break into the bank." Now, this police officer was staring at these two guys handcuffed to each other. One is wearing civilian clothing, one is wearing a police uniform. Now, who are you going to believe? And the undercover police officer started pleading and begging and saying, no, this is a misunderstanding. I'm the real police officer. He's the criminal. And the criminal said, "Come on, who are you going to believe? The guy in the uniform or the guy in civilian clothing? I'm the real police officer. He is the criminal." And this was going back and forth and back and forth. And the police officer is staring at them both, completely unsure how to understand the situation. Until suddenly, the undercover police officer realizes something so simple, so obvious, but somehow even in real life we all seem to forget. He says, "I'm going to prove to you that I'm the real police officer and he's the real criminal, and I'm going to do it in a way that only I could." And out of his pocket he pulls out the keys, and he said, "Only the true police officer has the keys to free himself from the handcuffs." And he opened the handcuffs and let the criminal go. And at that moment, the second police officer jumped and grabbed him and put him into the police car. I think that this story is an incredibly powerful reminder of something that we all struggle with. There are so many things in our lives that we believe we're in control of. We think we're in control of. But the truth is that in reality, these things control us. We are the true prisoner while those things hold the key. We think we're in control of, for example, our phone usage, but in reality, it's our phone usage that's controlling us. We think we're in control of our emotions, of our emotional reactions, but in reality, the truth is that our emotions control us. We think we're in control of our thoughts. We think we're in control of our desires. We think we're in control of our beliefs, but very often those things are actually controlling us. So how do you know? How do you know who's really in control? How do you know who's the police officer and who, in this case, is the criminal? So the answer is, if there comes a time where you're able to pull out of your pocket, even though you seem to have forgotten that you had it all along, a set of keys, and tell yourself, I'm able to free myself from these handcuffs. I'm able to set myself free if I really choose to. This time that we're entering into, this time of Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yemei Teshuva, Yom Kippur, is exactly that. It's a little opportunity, a little gift that you get where you're able to say, I want to reach into my pocket and pull out the key. I want to prove to myself, more than anyone else, to myself, that I could set myself free from those things, even if not for a lifetime, even if not for an entire year, for 10 days, for 2 weeks, for a month. I'm going to set myself free from those things that handcuff me, from those things that have control over me. One of the Zvil Rebbes has a beautiful, beautiful idea, a beautiful thought. He says that when a mishulach, when a beggar is walking around the shul asking people for money, he's able to tell, based on the amount of change that they ask of him, what this person plans to give. For example, if a person walks over to him and says, hey, do you have a shekel, a shekel change? It's safe to assume that this person plans on giving him what? A 2 shekel coin. If this person says, hey, do you have 50 shekel change? It's safe to assume that he plans to give him 100 shekel and get 50 shekel in return. If he says, hey, do you have a 100 shekel bill? Again, safe to assume, you do the math, that he plans on giving him 200 shekel and getting 100 shekel change in return. And he says such an amazing, amazing thing. He says, "Kegodel ha'odef, godel ha'matana." The size, the amount of the change, of the sacrifice that you're being asked to give, should reflect the size of the gift that you're about to receive. When you're asked to let certain things go, certain things, those same things that are holding you back, those things that you are handcuffed to, that are controlling you, those things that make you a prisoner in your own mind, in your own body, in your own emotions, in your own soul, the size of the sacrifice will always reflect what you will get in return by letting go of those things. And the more painful and the more difficult the sacrifice, the more worthwhile the transformation on the other end. We say on Yom Kippur, in the height of Yom Kippur, Tfilas Ne'ilah, we say, Ptach lanu shar be'et ne'ilat shar, open a gate for us at this time of the locking of the gates. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever noticed those two-door security systems that they have in jewelry stores or banks, right? One door opens, you step inside, and as that door closes behind you, the second door opens up, allowing you to go in to access this room that has things that are so valuable that they require massive security, heavy security. That's always how I envision that time. Are you willing to step inside and lock the door behind you? Say, all these different things that held me captive, all these different things that controlled me on so many levels, those things that I wasn't even necessarily aware that were, I was handcuffed to just as much as they were to me, that I was being enslaved to. All those things, I'm going to put them behind me and lock that door. There's no turning back. I don't want to be that person anymore. And as you do that, know with complete security that another door is about to open. The door to your real self, the door to the life that you could possibly have, the door to who you really were underneath it all along, a door to a life that is so much more connected, more deep, more real, and more meaningful than any of those things that were handcuffed to you. You really hold the key. Ptach lanu shar be'et ne'ilat shar. Open a door, open a gate for us. I miss you all, and I give you all a bracha from the bottom of my heart that we go through that journey successfully, hopefully on some level together as a little Tomer Devorah family, but that all those things that you're choosing to unlock, all those things that you're choosing to let go of, will be just a tiny little reflection of the size, the magnitude of what awaits for you on the other side of that gate. Enjoy your Rosh Hashanah, and Shana Tova.